on. Perry, good to have you on News and Views.
Good to be here, Joel. Good to see Amy, too, by the way.
Well, why is it always Amy? Cash, good to have you in studio.
Thank you, Joel.
I just had to get a plug in for Amy.
All right.
So nice.
Pull that mic a little bit closer there, Cash. All right. The burden was thrown down at you guys because you don't like the current plan. You feel the burden gets shifted to the northern end of Wilkin, Richland counties, a very southern Cass County. And everybody kept looking at you guys saying, okay, what's your plan? Do you have one now?
Right. And we did at the Comstock press conference last Thursday, Joel. And I know you were out
of town. I was gone.
Yeah.
That's why
where were you again?
I was doing the people's work in Jamaica, man.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. You look a little tan.
Yeah. Right.
The current plan, in our opinion, is more of a, I would call it flood control on steroids. In other words, it really, and this is the dirty secret that nobody wants to talk about. This is really a development plan for the south side of Fargo. And they keep denying that, and they say that it has nothing to do with development, but it really does, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But you said something, Joel, that is absolutely right on. Cash's business is located here in Fargo. I have business interests here in Fargo. Denise and I have two boys living here in Fargo. My sister lives here. I have a lot of relatives here in Fargo.
I make my living in Fargo.
Exactly. We all grew up coming to Fargo, doing things in Fargo, and we love this city. And Fargo does need some permanent flood protection. So the question is, how do we get there? How do we do it reasonably with the least amount of harm? And how do we solve the problem the North Dakota way in where we all band together and we all work together, as opposed to having, we get all the cake and, you get the burnt out candles off of it, if that makes sense. So that's what we're trying to get to, Joel. And that's the problem we have with the current plan.
Okay, Cass, walk me through this, because, there's a lot of people who really don't know what the alternative plan you proposed was. Walk us through it.
We hired an engineer to tell us how can we give Fargo the exact same protection they would have under this plan without impacting our community so severely. And he came up with an answer. We came up with an answer. Fargo would have the exact same protection, same level of protection they would have under this current plan. The only difference is the inlet would be moved back north of where the wild rice flows into the Red, where the Army Corps initially put it. If that was done, if the inlet was just moved 3 miles north, that would eliminate impacts from Richland and Wilkin and Comstock. It would minimize the impacts to Oxbow. If you threw in on top of that distributed upstream retention, it would essentially make the ring dike around Oxbow, Hicks, and Bakke unnecessary. Fargo would have the exact same protection they have now. Only difference is the water would be stored where it naturally pools, not on Comstock that's high and dry.
So logistics-wise, here's what I have in my mind. What you just did with your plan was said there's plenty of room in the south growth area of Fargo where there aren't housing now, but there is a great big high school, right?
Yes, it'd be south of that a little bit.
So really, the area that every spring it did flood, there was water there. Now you're saying that is the staging area that they'd need for this permanent flood protection. And every year, because I've been here and done radio on a couple of floods, I know what area floods south of town. You're going to use that as a staging area, knowing that it already is a staging area naturally now.
Yes, that's where water pools. I've driven south from Fargo during flooding too, and it's almost like you're driving to Key West. There's water on either side of you as far as you can see. That seems to be the logical place to stage this water, not on areas that don't.
Okay, what do you say to the people of Fargo who say we have no place to grow? If you do this, Fargo is a growing community. It's a growing economic center. Without growth in Fargo, the tax base gets burdened for the state. This is a place where people want to come to and live to. Fargo has nowhere else to go to grow its community, and you're taking it away.
You have Moorhead. You have Glendon. You have Castleton. You have West Fargo. You have Kindred. It goes back to Joel. Is this what North Dakota has become, where you guys have to lose because we have to be bigger? Eventually, Joel, they're going to run into the line to the south, where you run into the Kindred School District. And then what? What's going to be the answer then in 40 or 50 years? Say, well, we've run into this line. Now we need to grow more. There's nowhere to grow after that point. So let's You see what I'm saying, right?
I do get what you, Cash.
You know, this is something we've been kind of tarred with, Joel. I mean, any opposition to this plan, they say you're against flood protection for Fargo. You're against flood protection for Fargo. I think Fargo needs to make a choice. Do they want flood protection or do they want a development plan? Because right now they're trying to sell this as a flood protection plan when, in fact, it's a development plan. Our plan, our alternative, would give the exact same protection. They just wouldn't be able to develop the low area at our expense.
Is this part of the argument, Perry, that you serve on the Richland County Commission? Is this part of the argument that you're making in your lawsuit against the FM Diversion Authority?
Well, it is in part. It's that there has to be the least impactful solution for the DNR to permit the dam on the Red River. And I want to back up a little bit, Joel, because we've been working at this for so many years, and we tend to use terms that the average person doesn't understand. And it's not an insult to them. It's just that, you know, how you get and you start using industry buzzwords and you kind of lose the audience. So I want to go back to what Cash said. He said to move the northern inlet, the inlet farther north. When he says the inlet, that's the inlet to the actual diversion ditch. We're not saying, you know, we don't like the diversion ditch. We're just saying where it begins, to move it north a few miles, to right north of where the Wild Rice River comes from the southwest, you know, through your home country, and it runs into the Red just south of Fargo. That eliminates the need for a dam on the Wild Rice River. It would still require a dam on the Red River.
I want to make sure I'm clear about this, though.
Yes.
The plan that your engineer devised here, does it provide the same level of protection in the footprint that Fargo has now?
Yes.
Does it protect Davies High, which is already built and it's down there?
Yes. The inlet, the diversion would start half a mile south of Davies.
Okay. So, and the reason I say that is we can argue about the no vote on Davies. We can argue about whether or not that was put there to create this development and to drive people into what we both know as a floodplain. That isn't my point. The point is it's there. And no one's going to let that big of a piece of infrastructure go, period.
Right.
Now, what is the Corps' answer to this? Have you brought this to the Corps of Engineers?
Joel, the Corps has looked at this twice, and they rejected it twice.
And why?
They've stated it. The reason they rejected it is, and the Corps didn't, Fargo rejected it. The Corps brought it to Fargo twice, once with this proposal that's covered in their documents, twice actually. Fargo has rejected it twice for the stated reason that it interferes with their plans for future development.
But the Corps, does the Corps acknowledge that this plan achieves the permanent flood protection goal for Fargo?
The Corps placed the inlet here. That's their preferred alignment, is with the inlet north of the Wild Rice. The Army Corps came to Fargo with a solution for their program or their problem and devised a straight diversion. And it started north of the Wild Rice Red River confluence. It was a straight diversion, protected 30 square miles. That was the preferred plan. The Diversion Authority convinced the Army Corps to more than double the size of this program. So, yeah, the Army Corps their plan was a straight diversion starting north of the confluence. The Diversion Authority blew this up into a 75 square mile project and dropped the inlets 3-4 miles south.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. When we come back, I want to talk about what the status is of how this progress goes, because they're talking about building ring dikes at Oxbow, Hicks, and Bakke. They're buying land. You know that. The Diversion Authority is buying land and spending money to buy land, pretty good money to buy land. Although, as they put it, and it made sense to me, the best time to buy land is somebody's willing to sell it. I don't dispute that from them. I also want to talk about where we're at with Minnesota, because I've heard from new officials that were with the city of Moorhead that they aren't jumping up and down to push for dollars in this. We know that Governor Dayton isn't looking to push their dollar. Has this become solely a North Dakota project? And if so, how does that affect Minnesota DNR? You know, how does it, because you still need permits from Minnesota DNR. So stick around, guys. All right, guys, I told you what I was going to ask you. I'm with Perry Miller and Cash Allen. Cash is on the board of directors of the Upstream Coalition, and Perry is chair of the Richland-Wilkin Joint Powers Agreement. Guys, when you look at this plan and you look at how it's going to go, how does this affect Minnesota? Because right now, the Diversion Authority that's currently in place and their plans going forward, and they've got the Corps with them, we have to admit, let's be honest about this, they've got all the momentum and the steam behind them, but they don't have Minnesota yet. So, Cash, I mean, with your legal background, what, where are they at with the permitting process with Minnesota DNR?
Minnesota DNR is going to issue a preliminary document. Then they are going to launch into a full-blown study that'll take a year before they can even make a decision on whether or not to permit this high-hazard dam. So we got it. We're going to be a year before they even make a decision.
So does that mean the ring dikes still go forward, though?
Well, it shouldn't. The Minnesota DNR just sent kind of a depth charge to Chairman Vanio and let him know, hey, if you go forward with this ring dike, you could be in violation of state law and federal law. And it was about as big a warning as I've ever seen from a government agency.
Even though the ring dikes are on the North Dakota side.
Right. I can explain that one, Joel. There's the issue of if you're going to build the ring dike around Hicks and Oxbow and Bakke, because they flood, and in other words, you were going to build this ring dike anyway around Hixson and Bakke and Oxbow, independent of the full diversion project, then fine, go ahead and build it. I mean, there's been a lot of ring dikes built along the North Dakota side. If, however, this ring dike around Hixson, Oxbow, and Bakke is being built as a component of the full diversion project, then we have a problem. Then you're probably in violation of law. So then the question is, were they going to build 5 years ago? Were people talking about building a 16-foot high ring dike around Hixson, Oxbow, and Bakke? No. And if they were, wouldn't the people of Hixson, Bakke, and Oxbow went and asked for that and said, you know, hey, we've got a problem here? The only time that anybody's ever flooded in those communities was in 09, I believe, right, Cash?
And Bakke and Hixson did not.
Bakke and Hixson have never flooded. Oxbow flooded a little bit. They took...
I remember in 09, yeah. We were staging sandbags, yep, out of the Knicker.
Right.
And trying to help Oxbow beef up some areas.
And they've since... they've removed a few houses that were maybe too close to the river, and they are now protected to, I believe, about a foot over the water level in 2009.
They have a ring dike that was designed by Moore Engineering and completed in 2010, and you never hear about that. Oxbow is high and dry, well above the record flood, but you never hear about that. They don't have a problem. They don't need protection right now.
I want to just simplify this so that the people that are listening who don't want to get into the engineerings and the geometry of everything can get what I think is really the argument here. It's the growth area. It's what you're talking about is some area is going to suffer for permanent flood protection for Fargo-Moorhead. We know that. Everyone knows you have to stage water. If you build anything that where you can hold water and not let it instantly try to go through this town, or you're going to lose one of the biggest, best cities that we all know and love, mm-hmm, which is Fargo. Okay, so if you know that, the question becomes, where do you stage water? And if I'm hearing you right, your engineering shows that you can do it north of what's being proposed in the area that already was being used to stage water, but it just happens to be where Fargo wants to have a growth area. They built a high school out in the middle of it.
Exactly. That's the term is, you hear the term natural floodplain. Water runs towards a river. So where you have the Wild Rice River coming in from the southwest, where it meets the Red River, that's a natural congregating point for this water. It's a natural floodplain because that water wants to get to the river so it can flow north. And we're just saying, stay out of the natural floodplain. Quit developing in the floodplain. And then, now this is the flip side, and this is where we get absolutely no credit from the Diversion Authority or the Corps, is to work with them collectively, you know, how we solve our problems in the Midwest together, and to build upstream retention. And just a definition here, because there again, we get into terms. For the listeners, upstream retention, upstream in this case is to the south. You know, you're on the higher ground to the south. So we're talking about retaining or temporarily holding water in areas that are prone to collecting water anyway, compensating the landowners for that, and then releasing the water systematically as the channel can handle it. Now, here's what you'll hear from the Diversion Authority and the Corps. Retention won't work. Well, you know what? They built one down in Traverse County, just down the road a little bit, in Red Path Township, and you talk to the people down there, even the people that were opposed to it, will tell you it's a phenomenal project. It has been built.
What level does this engineering plan that you have sitting in front of me, and we got 20 seconds here, what level of protection does this take the city of Fargo to?
It's my understanding the exact same protection they would get under their current proposal.
Under the Diversion Authority.
Yes.
Guys, it isn't fair to do this without you having to take some phone calls. Stick around for a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
Okay? 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Well, it's over $400 million of your estate dollars that go towards this plan, and something needs to happen. In my personal opinion, if I was still in the legislature, I would be voting for flood protection for Fargo-Moorhead. But I certainly wouldn't be afraid to listen to the plan and how it's done. And that's what we're here talking about today. Perry Miller and Cash Allender here. Cash is with the board on the Upstream Coalition. Perry is chairman of the Richland-Wilkin Joint Powers. These are taxpayer dollars for everybody. I mean, these are taxpayer dollars, whether you live in Kidder County or McKenzie County. And so it does matter to you that you listen to the different plans and proposals of how the same goal can be achieved. Now, whether or not everybody agrees with that, I don't know. Well, I do know. They don't agree with that. But Perry, when you look at this plan, if I had Mayor Wolliker or Daryl Vanio from the Cass County Commission here, they'd be looking at me and they'd be saying, number one, this isn't the plan the Corps supports. Number two, they would be saying, you know, you're taking away our growth area. You're taking away areas we can grow. So what's your answer to those?
Well, first of all, we're not taking away a growth area because if you look at the size of the city that Moorhead Fargo, West Fargo has become, and certainly Fargo, why isn't there a little more vertical growth here? Why aren't we growing up? There's been a high rise down right along the river since I was a little kid, probably built back in the 60s. Very nice looking building. And if you look at how the community has just sprawled, does it make more sense to have a 50-unit high rise on a corner, or does it make sense to have maybe two houses there?
Okay.
And that's certainly some of their growth. And
do they acknowledge that this is about a growth area? Does the city?
Not publicly. Not publicly.
So they've never told you that in private, or no public official has?
Not publicly. Well, it's funny you'd bring that up, that at a meeting down in Wahpeton in November with Congressman Kramer, he had these Coffee with Kramer meetings, and myself along with our senator from our district, Larry Lewick, a fellow commissioner, and our sheriff, a bunch of local people were there. And in you know, pressing the congressman on how he was on this plan. And he said, well, he was, you know, kind of ambivalent on it. And I get it. He's a politician. I understand that. But then he said something.
There's a lot of votes in Fargo.
Absolutely. Then he said something that just took the air out of the room when he said, the mayor of Fargo approached me and said, Congressman, we need to get this diversion and this plan built, or all the development's going to go to Moorhead and West Fargo. Congressman Kramer said this in a public meeting down in Wahpeton.
Okay, so there is an acknowledgement that this is about growth.
It's the dirty little secret. They don't want to talk about
it.
Okay,
let's get to the phone lines. Roger, you were on with Perry and Cash. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, my question is, with their proposed plan, how does this protect all these 16 cemeteries?
Okay, thanks, Roger. 16, Cash, you've got the plan sitting in front of you. There's cemeteries in the floodplain that you'd be looking at.
Well, our proposal would stage the water where it already stages. If the question is, how does Fargo or the Diversion Authority intend to deal with cemeteries, we don't know because we can't get an answer. There's many cemeteries that are going to be under their staging area that do not now currently flood, and we don't really know what their plan is.
Okay. Shabano. Shabano, go ahead.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You're right. I wanted to know the proposal, how it will affect the town of Comstock. You said that Oxbow is already protected. What about Comstock?
Comstock is high
question.
And dry. Comstock is above the 500-year level. Comstock has no problem unless the Diversion Authority builds this dam, in which case they will inundate Comstock, and there's already a plan for a ring dike. But
I've got a good friend that lives and farms. You know, Comstock's home for him. It's where his parents raised him. And he looks at me, he says, this takes me out of farming, Joel. This takes me out of the game. And so I also know this. Colin Peterson has some real serious ties to Comstock. Have you spoke to him? What's his reaction to that?
Colin was at our press conference last Thursday, and we didn't know he was going to be there. He got up at the very end and validated everything we said. He said the final project needs to look like what these people have proposed. And he said retention has to be a major component. And he said the engineer that you hired, Charlie Anderson, is the best.
So you didn't hire some fly-by-night back of the magazine?
No.
Hey, I was an engineer for a day guy.
No.
Okay.
No. Interestingly, to add to the caller's point, if they move the inlet, in other words, the start of the diversion ditch, they move that back to the north like we're proposing, you eliminate the need for the Oxbow, Hicks, and Bakke ring dike for the savings of about $70 million. No need to ring dike Comstock. No need to ring dike Wolverton. It takes all of the impacts out of Richland Wilkin and a significant amount of the impacts out of the Kindred School District, which has the Kindred School District, bear in mind, Joel, has a significant presence in the north end of Richland County, and those people have already seen a tax increase because of this project.
When you look at this total cost-wise, guys, did your engineer break it down? Are you adding costs to the project? Are you taking away costs to the project? Are we talking apples to oranges here?
If the inlet has just moved north without the upstream retention, it would save the Diversion Authority nearly $240 million. The Army Corps has determined that by moving it north, it would save approximately $150 million because there'd be no dam on the Wild Rice. If you throw into that the cost that the Diversion Authority wants to give to Oxbow for their new country club, it's $240 million savings in our plan. Obviously,
you're talking to a lot of conservative voters out there right now. I mean, a lot of these people safeguard these taxpayer dollars immensely. Did your engineer do an analysis on and speak to the people of Fargo that want and deserve this protection? They're going to end up with a property tax bill. Do you help them with that property tax bill here, or do you burden them more?
When you lower the cost of a project this significantly, I think you absolutely help them. And bear in mind, Cash and I pay quite a bit of property tax here in Fargo. So we've got some skin in this game too, Joel. So absolutely, okay.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Craig, you are on News and Views. Go ahead, Craig.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Why do we, these engineers, why do we keep forcing the Wild Rice into the red and then into the diversion? Why isn't the Wild Rice diverted before it crossed I-29 and then west and then whatever diversion they need that comes across, meet up with it there? I mean, you're forming a bottleneck. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure this out. And the Wild Rice carries about, maybe 20% less than the red. So you're pushing it into the red. What happens when you push water in?
Well, it goes up.
That don't go in. It backs up.
Well, and Craig, you bring up a point that I've been raising all along, which is a wider basin approach. I think there's an acknowledgement by your group here, though, Perry, that that's not going to happen. That long-term and time-wise for the city of Fargo, it's not going to happen. But Craig's spot on. Wild Rice is a big part of this problem.
The Wild Rice is appropriately named. It has the word wild in it. The red is, and I think the folks in Fargo would even agree that the Wild Rice is kind of the wild card in this thing. And so it's an interesting concept that Craig brings up, because if you follow the Wild Rice all the way down, through Great Bend, Matador, our home country, Joel, there's issues with the Wild Rice all along. And that kind of goes back to this upstream retention or temporary storage of water. It helps everybody along there. You talk to people south of Breckenridge, after they built the retention project down in Traverse County, down by Wheaton, it's called the Red Path Project. The Rabbit River comes in south of Breckenridge. It comes in from the Minnesota side. They said that thing used to be miles wide. After they built that project, they said it rarely leaves its banks.
And so now they're farming land again.
Yeah, it helped everybody along. And they are still farming the land inside the retention area. Now, the difference is that land down there is never going to be developed. It's in a very remote area. It's in an area that is not going to be developed. You can't tell me that in a few years that people aren't going to want to start developing in that, as things grow and get bigger around here. Northern Richland County, that's where we've seen a lot of our development.
It's important to note, too, and Colin Peterson said this at our meeting last week. He has made sure there is plenty of money for retention in the Farm Bill. So There is money to do this, money that isn't Diversion Authority money, isn't North Dakota State taxpayers' money. There's money to do upstream retention because it is such a recognized as a valid way to control flooding.
What's going to be the most interesting to me is when you look at what's happened to protect the city of Moorhead already, and in fairness to Fargo and all this, Moorhead had it easier. Their footprint is less. They're on higher ground. But Moorhead is protected. I mean, every official I've talked to in Moorhead, they say, we've got a little bit further to go. We've got our city where we need it to be. We really don't have the same problem that they have on the North Dakota side. They're our neighbors. It's where we go to work. We want to support them, and we want to be good neighbors. But when it comes to writing a check, I don't think you're going to see money coming from Minnesota over into North Dakota for this project. Now, the deal with all that is North Dakota doesn't need it. They're raising more money in their sales tax than what they thought they were going to. North Dakota's coffers are full from oil tax revenue, all of that. But does that mean spending money as North Dakota and as Fargo taxpayers just because you can, when you could buy the same thing for less? To me, that goes to the very principle of how government should work, Perry.
I don't disagree at all. Just Moorhead is in pretty good shape, and Moorhead has a lot of room to grow to the south and to the east. And it kind of goes back to, what kind of neighbors do we want to be? Do we want to say, no, I get all the toys in the sandbox, I want all this, or am I going to kind of share with my neighbors, so to speak, with the growth? And that's really the attitude.
So where are you at with the lawsuit? I mean, for Richland and Wilkin and Clay and Cass County have been friends for years. I mean, to be suing each other over something like this is a big, bold step. I mean, you're a county commissioner, and you're still answerable to the voters of Richland County. What are they telling you? Are they happy that you've initiated through your joint powers agreement a lawsuit against your neighbors?
I have not had one person tell me that what we're doing is wrong. Matter of fact, Denise doesn't even like me to...
Denise, by the way, is your wife.
Yes. She's been putting up with me for almost 25 years. So, but she almost hates for me to go out in public with her because I get hit a lot with people saying, keep it up. This isn't right. This isn't fair. And it's an unjust plan. And we have the full support of the people down there. And bear in mind, we've been accosted by talk show hosts and a host of other people. Joel, we never asked for this fight. I have a lot of other things I could be doing with my day. I spend a fair amount of time, and so do people like Cash and Nathan Burseth and all of the people. I've heard nasty things said about Mike Bice, the owner of the Knicker, and Scott Hendrickson, a farmer down there. Joel, they never asked for this to be foisted on.
Mike loved buying the Barstool Engineer T-shirts.
By the way, I think he's going to start offering continuing education hours down there, okay, so you can keep current on your engineering.
Cash, you live in this arena. You do. What effect would an engineering study like this have on the lawsuit?
This alternative is not so much valuable for the lawsuit as it is for the issue the Minnesota DNR has to consider. Minnesota law requires them to deny this permit unless the Diversion Authority can prove that their plan is the least impactful solution. By coming forward with this solution that preserves the floodplain, I think we're demonstrating to the Diversion Authority that Fargo's plan is not the least impactful. And as I read Minnesota law, by coming forward this way, we're going to make it a lot less likely that Minnesota is going to agree to allow them to build a dam.
So let's say, hypothetically, Minnesota doesn't issue the permit. Minnesota DNR tomorrow, just for debate's sake, says no to the permit. What happens?
There's no dam on the Red River. If there's no dam, they're going to have to scale back this protection and look to have, and rightfully look, to protect Fargo in ways that don't just drain the floodplain so they can develop it. I think Fargo's got a choice. Are they going to have flood protection, or are they going to have a development plan? And if it's just flood protection, they're going to find the opposition just dies away. But as long as they continue to want to drain the floodplain and put it on people to the south that do not flood, they're going to have growing opposition, and that's what this is. Our opposition is growing. Our organization is growing. Our fundraising capability is growing. Our voice is growing. I understand that usually in Army Corps projects like this, the opposition is kind of big to start with, and then it slowly dwindles away. In our situation, it's just the opposite. We're
guys, growing. Do you fear at all waking up some May, April day, and you see Fargo where Minot was or Grand Forks was, and people pointing to you down south and saying you're the reason Fargo flooded?
Well, they've already tried to do that, Joel. But then the first question I would ask is, how many times are they going to build a temporary clay levee down on 2nd Street along City Hall? Is that our fault that that hasn't been done?
Well, spending $70 million to ring deck a community that doesn't flood.
Okay, stay with me at the top of the hour. People on hold want to get to you.
All right.
Let's go to Terry Spees and find out what's going on in our weather. In support of the current project, know that the way we roll here on News and Views is you're welcome to come in and argue about this. Heck, we'd love to give you both in the room and do that and talk about this. That's what public dollars and public policy should be about. You get in a room and decide it. Cash, for those who want to know more about the plan that you've just presented on air, is there a place they can go to look at it so that they can see it and for their own mind decide whether you're right or wrong?
Yes, it's posted at fmdam.org. There's links to the PowerPoints that were put on. It's under the letter about the Comstock meeting we had, but you can find links to that and in that letter. You can find everything you need on fmdam.org.
Perry, if they start building the ring dikes in Oxbow and Hickson, is this thing over?
Oh, by no means, no. It would be a total waste of taxpayer money to do that, but no, we're not going away.
Okay, if you lose in the lawsuit, is this over?
Oh, no. There's maybe more lawsuits.
Okay. Well, as you can see, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Let's go to Sean and fight.